Okay, good afternoon, brethren, and welcome again to our Sabbath services. I want to thank very much Brother David for that sermonette, and quite informative, and of course, spot on in terms of really what did Jesus look like. Nobody really knows. But the information that you brought out was very, very pertinent, and I think it's good for us to even build with David to see if there are any questions or so, but really, really good. Also, I must welcome you here and also those who are visiting with us on the internet. The fact is that we want you to continue to be in touch with us, and so we will actually be giving to you the website of the Church of God International here in the United Kingdom, which is www.cgiuk.org. www.cgiuk.org. When you go there, you can click on our Facebook. You can see there, a number of the presentations that we've had over a period of time. Also, you can contact us by email, which is infodesk@cgiuk.org. So that is another way in which you can reach us. But also, our contact, the address where we meet weekly, is also on our website under contacts. So you can go there and get familiar, get acquainted with us, because we really would like for you to visit us when you can, if you're within this region, and also for you to tune in and to share, for us to share with you the various presentations we have week after week. Now, I promise that for the weeks coming up, I'll continue to remind us about the approach of the four festivals, and we are 9 days away from the Feast of Trumpets. So 9 days from the Feast of Trumpets means that we should be pretty much attuned to having, the time off from work and things of that nature, because it is a holy day. It is not a holy day to the world in which we live. It's a holy day which God has instituted. And he institutes these holy days for the people he has called out of the world in order that they can fellowship with him. This is a unique plan that God has for those he calls the first fruits. They are the ones who will know about these days and will assemble on these days. So on that day, we will be assembling right here at the Global Academy in Hayes, right where the old vinyl factory is. And you will see that address very well stated on our webpage. So please visit there. And if you want to join us for the Feast of Trumpets, that would be a great thing. We'll tell you more about the Feast of Trumpets when you arrive on that particular day. And so we have been over the past weeks, and let me remind you too, that the Feast of Atonement for us, it comes up on the 19th of September. So the 10th is Trumpets, the 19th is Atonement, and then the Feast of Tabernacles actually begins on the 24th of September. It actually begins the evening before, but we actually meet for services on the day part of the 24th. So bear those things in mind, and if you want to know more about the Feast of Tabernacles, do write into us. We do not meet here at the Global Academy for the Feast of Tabernacles. The Feast of Tabernacles is really a pilgrimage, festival. So we leave our homes and we go elsewhere. And so there are fee sites in various places. Here in the UK, if you want to get some more information, call in and we can send that to you. Or outside of the UK, we will be having fee sites in various other places. So do let us know if you are interested in attending a fee site, and we can probably send you some information on where you can find some of these feast sites. Now, what we've been doing over the past weeks is we've been dealing with some themes leading up to these feasts. And we did one of those presentations last week, but this week we are dealing with this topic. What is the mark of the beast? We see in the scriptures that shortly before the coming of Christ, there is going to be a very frightening development, and Revelation 13, which was read as the scriptures leading up to this presentation, it really reveals a very terrible, frightening, monstrous beast in the end time that will compel all of mankind to receive a mark in their hand, their right hand, and in their foreheads. And that mark is one that without it, you will not be able to survive. The scriptures say you can neither buy nor sell. Means that common groceries that you need, you're not going to be able to go get it without that mark. Nor are you going to be able to take care of your children. Think of these basic things. Take care of the elderly. Maybe your mother or grandmother who is, or grandfather who is aged, and you are the one who takes care of them. You're going to be disabled. You can't do it without receiving the mark of the beast. It means that if you are retired and you saved all of your work years for your retirement, and now you have your money to spend, you're not going to be able to spend it. So all of that money has no use. This is frightening. This really is alarming. And you cannot really ignore an important development like this that is just ahead of us. You turn with me to Revelation 13, and we look at verses 16 and 17, and it says, in reference to the second beast, it says, "And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond," it means nobody is left out, "to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell save he that had the mark of this creature, the beast," or the name of the business, which is the number of his name, which is the 666. So what this really says here is that this is not a time when there's going to be a lot of joy. This is going to be a time when people are going to be in terror. People are going to be in oppression. People are going to be starving if they don't take the mark of the beast. People are going to die. And it goes on, because many may say, "Well, I know how to solve this problem. All I have to do is to get the mark of the beast, and then I'm all right." Because, of course, I'll be able to buy and sell and live a normal life. Well, just in case that's going through your head, look with me at verses 1 and 2 of this Revelation 16. Go to Revelation 16, and let's look at verses 1 and 2. And what it says here is, "And I heard a great voice out of the temple saying to the seven angels, go your ways and pour out the vials of the wrath of God upon the earth. And the first went and poured out his vial upon the earth, and there fell a noisome and grievous sore upon the men, listen to this, which had the mark of the beast, and upon them which worshipped the image. So what you're seeing here is that those who received the mark, they, although they are able to buy and sell, upon them is going to fall pestilence. This is called the wrath of God. There's no wrath as painful and as threatening as the wrath of God. It's deadly. So it shows you there are two categories of persons, and each is going to be subject to wrath. One to the wrath of Satan, the other to the wrath of God. So the choice is not really in the immediate, it's not going to be a very comfortable choice, because one way or the other, pain is going to come. But this is important for the church. It is important for the church because it is very likely that when the beast begins his round, that is going to be what people feel compelled to do, because you want to survive. And it's going to take a lot of character. It's going to take a lot of resilience. It's going to take a lot of knowledge and understanding for one to be able to resist that and to say, you know what, I'm going to suffer the hunger. I'm going to suffer the denials. I'm going to have to suffer the pain and even the death, because I know that the choice to make is a choice that is going to lead me to eternal life. The choice that God has provided. And that is a very important juncture for us to really reflect on, because it is not that anyone is going to escape wrath. It is that you're going to have to choose your wrath. You're going to choose whether it is going to be the devil's wrath that you will endure, because you know that God is going to deliver you at the end, or whether it is God's wrath that you are going to cause to come upon you, which is really termination and extinction. That's what it finally turns out to be. You go down to, you turn over to Revelation 14 and verse 10. And it says here, if any man worships the beast and his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without measure. So the wrath of God is going to be poured out on those who took the mark. And it says it's going to be poured out without measure. It means it's extreme. And this is something that one has to consider, because it's life-threatening. This topic is important because it is coming. It is important because none shall escape. It's a question that one has to understand, and it is going to take an individual time now to think about how you are going to face that period should you be alive when it comes. How you're going to face that period when it comes. Because without some prior determination of the stand you're going to take, you're likely to be trapped by it. And this is the prophecy that has been made. Turn to chapter 14 and verse 12. And what you see here is the condition of the saints during this period when the wrath of Satan is being poured out. And this is very, very key to helping us to understand what the mark of the beast is. Because it says, here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus Christ. Notice very clearly it is pointed out the reason that they are being pursued. They are being pursued because they keep the commandments of God. You can right away come to an understanding that the differentiation between those who are taking the mark of the beast and those who are not taking it, those who are not taking the mark of the beast are those who keep the commandments of God. They are following God's commandments. The opposite is true. Those who are not keeping the commandments of God are the ones who really, accept the beast's mark. Now, it's very important to understand this because what we are going to be showing in this presentation is that the mark of the beast is not what many people considers it to be. Many have the view that the mark of the beast means a literal mark of something on your forehead or something in your hand or something of that nature. But what we will show is that the mark itself is not literal. What will be literal is the administration of people who will now have to go and do their buying and so on. There will be some kind of arrangement so that they can prove that they are one of the persons entitled to buy and sell. There's no doubt about that. That's a practical part of what will come about in terms of the administration of it. But the mark, what the Bible refers to as a mark, is actually a decision that individuals are going to be required to make in terms of whether they are going to follow God or they are going to be following. And the basis on which you're going to prove that you're following God is to obey the commandments of God or to obey the commandments of the beast, which is Satan's agent. Look at with me at Revelation 12 and verse 17. And notice again how Satan is angry. The people against whom he's angry during this time of the mark of the beast. It says, and the dragon, that is Satan, was wroth with the woman, that's a reference to the church, and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, again, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. So again, this reinforces the point we're making. That those who are escaping the wrath of God, who are protected from the wrath of God, are going to be those who keep God's commandments. But they are going to be exposed to Satan's wrath.
Yes.
And for that reason, it is clear here that the commandments of God is at the center of this teaching about the mark of the beast. It is not simply a mark of some sort, as some people think, or a chip, or a computer chip being put on your hand, or something like that. That's not the mark. The mark actually is going to be. It's a divine, it's a spiritual matter. And it is a matter of whether one belongs to God or one belongs to the enemy. So let us be very clear in what we are understanding. The one that accepts the mark of the beast does not keep the commandments of God. You cannot, you will not accept the mark of the beast if you believe in obeying the commandments of God. And if you accept the commandments, the mark of the beast, it means that you are acting in disobedience to God. Now, if you go to Revelation 15, verses 2 to 3, just to show you how the commandments of God are prominent in this teaching of the mark of the beast, you will see there again a reference to the saints. And it says, "And I saw, as it were, a sea of glass mingled with fire, and them that had gotten the victory over the beast." So these are the saints of God who have moved victorious over the beast and over his image and over his mark and over his number, the number of his name. So notice the people now who really have been able to overcome the beast. They were standing at the sea of glass, having the harps of God, and they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, "Great and marvelous are thy works." Notice, earlier we were talking about the commandments of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. Notice this is the song of Moses and the song of the Lamb. So we are seeing, it's another way of saying the same thing that was said earlier, that those who overcome have the commandments of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ, or they have the song of Moses, and they also have the song of the Lamb. This again is a reinforcement, and it shows you, it says, "And marvelous are thy works, Lord Almighty," they say. "Just and true are thy ways, thou King of the saints." And they are, again, singing the song of Moses, singing the song of the Lamb, because they follow the commandments of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. And this is all about Israel. Israel being in coming out of Egypt, and they were singing the song, of rejoicing, of being delivered out of Egypt, and they were coming up to the Red Sea,
yeah,
that God would have parted, yeah, so that they can go across. So the sea was a symbol of their victory,
mm-hmm,
and you're seeing similar images being showed to us here. Now, the enemy's focus is really the commandments of God, the laws of God. Turn me to Daniel 7 and verse 25. And what you're going to see here is that there is a contest as to whose law to follow.
Yeah.
God has given his laws. The main purpose of Satan, the enemy, is to guide man away from God's law. And Daniel, God would have given a vision to Daniel in order to show him how focused the enemy is at destroying or getting rid of God's law, to get man to obey him, the enemy, as against obeying the law of God. So, it says here, verse 25 of Daniel 7, "He shall speak pompous words against the Most High, shall persecute the saints of the Most High." Are you seeing the relevance here? "And shall intend to change times and laws," which means that in persecuting the saints, the main method is to change the laws of God and to get the saints to observe his law, the law of this Antichrist or beast, as we describe him. Then the saints shall be given into his hand. And that is important for us to understand as God's people.
Yeah.
We think that because God, the angels of God encampeth around them that fear him, that that is okay, we are fine, that nothing is going to happen to us. But remember, God's people have gone through much tribulation, the Bible says it, in order to enter the kingdom of God. And always remember that Christ says, you will suffer as I have suffered. So we are going to go through. Christ himself went through tribulation. If Jesus Christ, who was sinless, could have gone through tribulation, why is it that any one of us would believe that we are not going to go through much tribulation? The only thing is, and it's very interesting, that it says, for a time and times and half a time, which adds up to a 42-month period, which is 3.5 years. So what this shows here is that there is a period of time, a cap on it. So it's not forever. So one of the ways in which you and I can get strength is to be able to say, I know it will be over. I know. 1 month is gone. So it is no longer 42 months. It's now 41 months.
Yes.
And I can say to you, bear up, my dear sister.
Yes, yes.
Bear up.
Soon be over.
It's now only 40 months.
Yes.
40 months
yes.
to go. Bear up, my brother.
Yes.
Never mind.
Hold on.
30 months. 30 Hold months. On. We've already gone through 12 of it.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Hold on.
Because we know. And
there's
coming a time when if the church is going to have to be together, if we are going to have to be keeping one another's and bearing one another's burden and comforting one another, it's going to be at that time.
Yes.
That is really the kind of situation that is going to be facing us. But notice how much the commandment of God is featured in all of these statements. Now, what we need to understand is this. The question is, where did this idea, or where was it first mentioned in the scriptures, about a mark in the hand and a mark on the forehead? This is the main guide to helping us to understand that this particular move by Satan is really to remove that original mark. Because there is an original mark that yes, God's people
yes.
have.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. Set that mark.
And what Satan wants is to replace the mark of God with the mark of the enemy.
Mm.
And so, let us turn to Ezekiel 20 and verse 11. Without this, we would probably go astray and not understanding what this thing means. But the mark in the hand and the forehead did not originate in the book of Revelation. And unless you are understanding the word of God and you are able to have this other understanding, you'll probably be taken away and people can tell you all kinds of things. About what this mark is. But the mark of the beast, as we have been showing, pertains to the keeping of God's law. It is the displacement. That's what it is. The mark of the beast is a displacement of God's law in the life of those who keep it. And it is an imposition of the law of Satan, the law of the dragon upon the people of the world.
Mm.
So the people of God are threatened in that what God has given to them can be displaced if they are not careful. The world, of course, will gravitate towards it, because who doesn't want to be able to buy and sell? Everybody's just got to go. But not realizing the consequence, which is the wrath of God. So let us see where this idea of the mark on the hand and the forehead comes from. You could turn to Ezekiel 20 and verse 11. God says, I gave them my decrees. That's the law of God. And made known to them my laws. The law of God. By which the person who obeys them will live. So it is clearly telling you that without the law of God, you cannot live. And many persons say, oh no, it's because of Jesus Christ where I live. Well, unless you do not understand the relationship between Jesus Christ and the law. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. You can't have Jesus and you're not keeping his commandments. This is how you know the love of God, if you keep his commandments.
Yes.
So it is interrelated. Never you be fooled by those who say that it is either law or Jesus. When you have Jesus Christ, by virtue of being a follower of Jesus Christ, you are obeying the law of God. Verse 12 of Ezekiel 20. Mm-hmm. Also I gave them my Sabbaths as a sign between us. Can you imagine? This is a sign between you and God. That is why the world cannot recognize it. It's just like you go to someone, listen, this is just between you and I.
Yeah.
Okay? It's a sign between God and yourself. It's a sign between us. So they would know that I, the Lord, made them holy. So the sign, the mark, the word sign, the word seal, the word mark, they are used interchangeably in the scriptures. And so the mark, the sign that God has with his people is he has given them his Sabbath to keep.
Yeah.
Now many turn and say, no, don't you see he gave it to Israel? Well, they've been through that so many times.
Yeah.
He gave it to Israel. Well, who is Israel? Who do you think Israel is? We showed you a few weeks ago that we are the Israel of God. You see that in the book of Galatians. The scriptures say it. And you also see that Israel is really a character. It's not just a nation or just the name of people. It's a character. The word Israel came where after Jacob struggled with God, struggled with man. And because he was an overcomer, the word Israel means you are an overcomer. You will overcome the beast. You are an Israelite.
Amen.
You're an Israelite when you overcome the beast. And so, it tells you that God says, I gave them my Sabbath as a sign between us. So we must be able to bring that together as understanding that the Sabbath is really the most violated of God's commandments. The vast world, majority of the world, do not keep the Sabbath. It's the most violated of God's commandments. And you know the Bible says, if you refuse to keep one, you've broken all. So the fact is that the consistency of God's law being a part of all of what we're reading. Go to verse 13. Yet the people of Israel rebelled against me in the wilderness. This is a kind of a type of what is to come, because God is showing you how when they refused to keep the Sabbath, what happened to them. And the children of Israel rebelled against me in the wilderness. How did they rebel? They did not follow my decrees, but rejected my laws, by which the person who obeys them will live. And they utterly desecrated my Sabbaths.
Yeah.
That's how they rebelled against God. This is what is ahead for the Israel of God in the world today.
Yes.
That they are likely to rebel against God and to desecrate the Sabbath. So I said, I would pour out my wrath. You hear the wrath of God. The wrath of God. The wrath of God that you see there in Revelation is this is a type of that wrath. Because you know God sent them into captivity and they were enslaved and all of what happened to them. So here it is. God handed them in the hands of the enemy, their enemies. The Babylon had power over them. And that is what happened. So this, what you're seeing here, you don't have to go simply to the book of Revelation to understand what the mark of the beast is. It's right here. It's telling you. Desecrating God's law. Desecrating his Sabbath. He will cause his wrath to come upon them and destroy them in the wilderness. So, already we are seeing that removing the mark that God puts in the hand and on the forehead of his people, that mark is what the beast intends to remove. That mark is what the beast intends to put on. So when you talk about the mark of the beast, you're talking about disobedience to the law of God. You're talking about a desecration of God's Sabbath. And this is coming out clearly. And then he goes on. There. Do not follow the statutes of your parents or keep their laws or defile yourselves in their idols. That's exactly what David was speaking about in the time, the idols.
Yeah.
That this is really what you're going to find, the image of the beast. The image is going to be so strong, it's going to be, life is going to go into it. We don't know clearly what the image is yet.
No.
But certainly, it sounds like it's something that did not have life.
Yeah.
And they were able to put life into the image so that it could speak.
Yeah.
All of this is part of what is coming. And that is going to say, people are going to say, but look at that, who is like the beast?
Yeah.
The beast is able to call power down from heaven, fire down from heaven, and is able to put life into something that is inanimate. And there you are. This is going to be quite a development. And it goes on. I am the Lord your God. Follow my decrees.
Amen.
And be careful to keep my laws. That is a warning. The Christians of the New Testament, of the first Christians, would have understood this. Because what we call the Old Testament is what they had as their Bible. And they could easily refer to all of this. When they are hearing about, John is talking about the forehead and the hand, they would know. Because they knew that the Lord told them that they should, that his Sabbath should be. There. Verse 20. Keep my Sabbaths holy, that they may be a sign between us. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God. This is really a very important scripture here for all of us to be able to follow. So a mark in the hand and the forehead is really where we need to focus in order to understand the mark of the beast. That a mark in the hand and the forehead was not something originated by the beast. What the beast is doing is to give you the counterfeit mark and in your hand and on your forehead in order to be able to get his way. Now turn with me to Exodus 13 and verse 9. Because here you're seeing where God is giving that instruction again. And what you're going to see here is that the symbolism of the forehead and the hand is really a symbolism of the instruction It really comes out of the instruction for keeping the Sabbath. God says, remember my Sabbath day. That's your mind. You must believe and remember. And then he says later, do no servile work. That's your hand. The command of the Sabbath, implicit in the command of the Sabbath, is the mind and the hand. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. That is your mind converted to obey and to follow, to observe the Sabbath of God, and do no servile work. Your hand is to be totally dedicated to God. And here in Exodus 13 and verse 9, you're seeing God speaking. It shall be, speaking of his Sabbath, it shall be for a sign unto thee upon thine hand, and for a memorial between thine eyes. Memorial. Remember. Remember the Sabbath day. And do no servile work on it. Is this beautiful? A memorial between thine eyes. That's right. That's your forehead. Mm-hmm. But it's a memorial. It's on the inside. It's to remember. It's not an outside. That's the point being made here. The concept of the forehead is to remember. The concept of the hand is about work. That the Lord's law may be in thy mouth. It is something that you're able to confess and you're able to witness to others about. Deuteronomy 6. And verses 1 and then verses 6 to 8. It says, now these are the commandments. That's what verse 1 says. And then it goes on in verse 6 to 8. It says, and these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt bind them up, bind them for a sign upon thine hand. And they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. As frontlets. In other words, they have the effect. What he's saying to them is that these are, he's giving them some literal examples of spiritual things. That's what is happening here. So, do not be frightened about what you see in Revelation about the mark on the hand and them in the forehead. That is not really the intent. It is to show that it pertains to the keeping of God's Sabbath. That it pertains to the keeping of God's law. It is therefore important to understand why the forehead and why the hand is used in the book of Revelation. It is used because it is speaking to those of us who understand the word of God that it's a reference to God's law, the keeping of God's law. Deuteronomy 11:18. Therefore shall ye lay up these my words in your heart and in your soul, and bind them for a sign upon your hand, that you may be, they may be as frontlets between your eyes. So in several places, these instructions appear. And therefore, we are not in the dark. This is the beauty about being the people of God. This is the beauty about keeping the commandments of God. The psalmist David says, I have more understanding than my teachers, for I dwell on your law. When you really delve into an understanding and obedience to the law of God, your mind is opened up to understand these mysterious things, as you see in the book of Revelation. Because look at how much we use the scriptures again to interpret the scriptures. How much it is easier to understand. So what really is the beast's mark? The beast's mark would be the substitution for the Sabbath. The substitution. It's very clear. Because now God has made it clear to us that it is really the Sabbath that is supposed to be there. And what is being done is that the Sabbath is being abandoned in order that the substitute that man has created, which is Sunday, is what people remember to keep. And what they do is, on the Sabbath, they use their hands, because everything, but on Sunday, they'll close down the place. I remember when I was growing up, at least, that shops were not allowed to be open on a Sunday. Yes, they couldn't open, and shopping centers, it's just recently. But I tell you, the time is coming. The time is coming according to God's word. That law is going to be instituted in a manner where it's going to be life and death. The demand for you to observe the law of the beast, which is not to go to work on Sunday. That is why nowadays you find Saturday is a day that people think they can go to work on Sunday. Sunday is really, people don't see it as a day that you can go to work. But they say Saturday is okay. Saturday is a day you can go to do your shopping. But don't go Sunday. We're going to lock up our place. Well, all of that is going to happen again. It has started. And it is going to happen where in all of the lands on the earth it's going to happen. So, the Sabbath is God's mark and Sunday is the beast's mark. It is the day that the beast will institute for others to go in. There are many places in which they roam, which is the headquarters of this beast power, in which Rome and the religious system of Rome, which is the Catholic church, have clearly, and this is one thing about the Catholic church, to be frank with you, there is honesty. They have made it clear that the Sabbath is to be kept. That's what the Bible says. But they have also said that the authority to change it resides in the papacy. They've said that. It's very clear. They have made it very clear that from their perspective, the Bible came out of the church. You know, in a reference to the Catholic Church. Therefore, the Bible is subject to the Church. The Church, therefore, can give its interpretations or amendments, for that matter, to the Bible. Here is a quote coming out of, I think it is out of a document, Stephen Keenan, A Doctrinal Catechism, which is the Catholic Catechism. And in that document, in reference to the position of the Catholic Church on the question of whether they have the right to change laws, they said, had she not such power, meaning the church, she could not have substituted the observance of Sunday, the first day of the week, for the observance of Saturday, the seventh day of the week, a change for which there is no scriptural authority. And this is the honesty, and this is one thing. You know, there are some quotes, I don't have them here with me, but in which the Catholics actually chastises the Protestant movement for keeping Sunday, because they have no basis, says the Catholic Church. That is the authority of the Catholic Church. And by virtue of you accepting Sunday as your day of worship, it means that you have now come under the authority, because it is a sign that you are part of the Catholic Church. Sunday keeping is a Catholic thing. The Protestants are really they're not protesting. They really have not understood what they are a part of. It is true that Martin Luther was a Catholic priest. He was a part of the Catholic Church. And he was protesting a number of things they were doing that he thought were so unscriptural. And he's right. But one of the things he did not protest, the breaking of the law, the Sabbath, change of Sabbath to Sunday, nor the introduction of other doctrines, which we speak about many of them here from this podium week after week. So we have to understand that the Catholic Church has made it clear that they have the right to make these changes. They are not doing it covertly. They are not doing it without knowledge. They are doing it in a very open way. And this is true because they have fulfilled the prophecy in Daniel 7:21-22. A fulfillment of this prophecy has already taken place. Maybe there are further fulfillments, but certainly, in a very profound way, this prophecy has been fulfilled. Here it is, Daniel 7:21-22. I beheld, and the same horn, and that horn, when we do a study of who is a beast and so on, it turns out to be the papacy, made war with the saints and prevailed against them, until the Ancient of Days came and judgment was given to the saints. This is not the one I was looking for. I was looking for the one where it says, and he changed the law. He actually changed the law. Let me just go to that one. Daniel 7, 2.
Verse 25.
Say it again.
Verse 25.
Of there. That's the part I was looking for. Where it says, and he actually changed. Read it for me.
He said, and he speak great words against the Most High.
Yes.
And shall wear out the saints.
That's right.
Of the Most High.
Yes.
And think to change times and laws.
That's right.
And they shall be given into his hand until a time and a time and the divided
right.
time.
So the idea of changing the laws is something that was prophesied, that the beast, the Antichrist, would do this. And we are seeing that there is a literal change
already
of laws and times. Now, many people do not understand the word times here. But these are the appointed times, the appointed feasts of God. He changes the appointed times. The Bible speaks of that. God has some times that he has designated for worship. And those are changed from the Passover to Easter. Mm-hmm. You know, the changes that have been made to of Christmas, you know, from the Feast of Tabernacles, which is the time when Christ was born, the time when we will go to have our festival. All these changes have come, and these have been changed by this beast power. So the beast power has set up his own laws. That's what we have to understand. There are two laws that are in existence for governance. The laws made by the beast, which is invented to replace the laws established by God. And so it is this change that we are talking about here when we speak about the beast, the mark of the beast. It is not simply the idea of buying and selling and where you're going to go. Now, let's talk about that for a minute. The fact is, and this is where there needs to be a balanced understanding, because some say it has nothing to do with any credit card or anything like that. But just think about it. Why that should not be the way you think about it. It is because after they have received the mark, after the mark has been received, there is a method by which it has to be administered. Mm-hmm. How are you going to go? How are you going to be prevented or permitted
to buy
and to sell, except it is there? Mm-hmm. And the data, the way in which information is managed nowadays is very simple. It's very simple. Whatever the method is, no one knows what the method actually will be. But certainly there will be a method that will identify you as someone that is not entitled to buy or sell.
Yeah. Cool.
But that is not the mark. That is not the mark. That is a method in which the mark of the beast is administered, so that people will be able now to be prevented and blocked from transactions, and those, there are many who will be able to just go and do what they have to do very, very freely. So we have to understand that. So it is not the method of how you're going to be able to access the goods and the buying and the selling that is the mark. The mark itself has to do with obedience. If you disobey the law of God, the mark is the disobedience. When you disobey the law of God, then it means that this mark is upon you. Brethren, it is a very frightening development that is ahead of us. And this is what is going to be happening prior to the coming of Christ. It's going to be about 3.5 months before Christ appears. It's going to be part of the Great Tribulation. So we understand it. We are not in the dark. It is ahead of us.
Yeah.
And when it begins, frankly, the way the world is moving,
yeah,
it is very near. Not all of us may live to be a part of that period.
Wow.
But if not us, our children.
And
what we must do is to train them up and to teach them and to make them aware,
amen,
so that they can escape,
amen,
this.
Amen.
Because there's no escape for them,
amen,
that do it. Now, what we want to do next time is we want to look at who is the beast. We want to look at the beast itself.
Yeah.
Who is the beast? How do you know this beast and what this beast is all about? When does the beast exist now? And what does it mean, all the descriptions given to the beast about the beast with many heads? It is one that is going to be It's something you've never seen before. So what is this beast? Well, are you expecting to see an actual beast with you know, 10 horns, 7 heads, and with feet of, whether it is the feet of the bear and the mouth of the lion, you know, and all this? Is this what you expect to see? Or is there something else to look for? You may be looking for the wrong thing. And therefore, we will talk about who or what is a beast in our next presentation. May God be with you, and may you come closer to understanding these things so that you can be among those who will escape the wrath of God. That is the wrath that you and I must seek to escape. The wrath of the enemy, temporary. The wrath of God, it is certainly a wrath that is going to be eternal death. So let us understand and know exactly what to do, not to be fooled by the enemy's plans. May God bless you.
Bless you.